There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Mankind will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Thank you. May the words of my mouth, meditation of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends in Christ, today is the start of the Advent season, a season of anticipation, a season of hope, a season that has our attention to waiting. Today we have seen the lighting of that first Advent candle, the candle of hope. As this Christmas day is fast coming upon us, and as we wait for that day, Christmas Day, what is it that you hope for? A time of rest from a challenging and busy year of work? Peace? When family and extended family and all of those dynamics just come together, that you would just hope for that special Christmas lunch or dinner or breakfast or whatever it might be, that it can just be one of peace. One of peace. Safety. When travelling on the roads during the festive season, is that what you hope for? For someone to have noticed those comments or subtle little, not so subtle, little hints about that special, really wanted Christmas gift that now just might be lined up and packed in the package of other things that you're going to hopefully unwrap on Christmas Day. What is it that you hope for? Depending on our age, and pardon the pun for the Sher supporters, but is it to turn back time and relive special events which are just now memories? Or is it to fast forward time and to live some new life experiences? Or is it you just want to stay in the moment and enjoy the present? What is it that you hope for? As God's people who are gathered here today, we are to focus anew on the first Sunday in Advent. It's a time of preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ. It's been said, and we've heard this, maybe you've heard it said before, the extraordinary thing is marked only by the extraordinary moment that happens before the extraordinary thing. Advent is that kind of situation. You know, we have four seasons of Advent that kind of points to and leads to that which has come on that first Christmas, which is Jesus' birth, and that which is yet coming, which we celebrate again and again, Christmas festivity, each year, annually, the birth of Christ. And so while our focus is on the birth of Christ and celebrating the birth of Christ from all those years ago, every Christmas year, it's interesting, is it not, that Jesus, in talking to his disciples today, has them focused on his second coming. We haven't even got to Christmas. We're talking about what's coming after that. It's a strange kind of focus, is it not, when we look at Advent? Why is Jesus talking to his disciples about his second coming? The birth of Jesus certainly encompasses that Christmas story. We know all the things that happen: Mary and Joseph, shepherds, angels, expectation of Jesus' birth. Jesus' birth comes. And then, of course, we have Jesus' ministry, and then years down the track, his trial, his crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. A beginning and an end. Birth of Christ, second coming with a great big climax. And what do we have in between? We have the story of Jesus. The meaning of his birth is unfolded for all of mankind. It's a bit like us, isn't it? We have a date of birth, we have a date of death, and we have a dash in between, and that dash is our life story, is it not? And how that gets told and reflected by others who are to tell it in terms of how we've lived it. The birth of Jesus and his second coming, beginning and end, but importantly, the story for us that's in between. So we are, as were the disciples of his day, we are the living in between people, aren't we? Between his birth and between that second coming. And as God's people who are living the in-between time, what is it that you hope for? How do we live the in-between time of Jesus' birth and his second coming? How will we live the in-between time of Jesus' birth and his second coming? What do we hope for? Surely it is, as we live in the in-between times, is to know, not just hope, but have the assurance that we are not alone as we live the in-between time. That God is with us in our journey. When Jesus spoke to his disciples here in this text, he spoke some home truths about what is going on. He pointed to the fact that there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and upon the earth. We have all sorts of conversations going on about climate change right now, and you have your own opinions about that. But here God is pointing to, with his disciples, Jesus talks about, there's going to be signs. Not like I'm going to spring it on you. I'm going to be giving you some signs so that you are on the watch, that you are on the ready, that you are faithful, that you wait in hope. Truth is, we don't do it so well, do we? Because we are a flawed and sinful people. That we know about God, yet we doubt. We can trust God, and yet we wonder. It's the two-edged sword, isn't it? When life perplexities come upon us, are we going to keep our job? Am I going to get a job? What will happen after study? Will I get through? Will there be enough finances to meet all of the things that are coming in? What's happening with my relationship? That's strained and feeling we're not too sure where that's heading. Or it's come apart and we're not sure how to put it back together. What is it, as we live the in-between time, that we hope for? That God is with us. Surely, that is what is important. And the truth is that no matter what we might think from day to day, because our emotions are up and down like a yo-yo, and the constant thing is that God never changes, but we do. We change like the wind, according to what goes on to us in the context of a day or a half a day or the week, depending what it is. It could be a health diagnosis. It could be someone giving us a hard time at work. And we just feel the injustice of it. Someone, you know, taking assault on our name and our person. And we just feel helpless and hopeless in it. Be the death of a loved one, like I've experienced recently with my mum, where I wasn't there. And I wish I could just turn that time back. We change like the wind, but God is constant. And what is important is, and what we hope for is, that God is with us. And the truth is that we are not alone. And how do we know that? Because we go to what he has already provided us, that is his word and his truth for our living each day. Joshua 1:5-19. I will never leave you or forsake you. Matthew 28:20. Surely I am with you. Jesus' own words, I am with you till the end of the age. When we are faced with things in life that really trouble and perplex us, when everything else is gone, when nothing else is left, God is left. God's love is constant for us. Nothing in the world can separate us from God's love. Isn't that what Paul wrote in the Corinthians to the Roman people at the time were suffering terrible atrocities at the hands of the Romans? When he said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Is it the potential thought of a loss of job or keeping a job or a broken relationship or whatever else might be going on, financial hardship? Is it tribulation? Is it distress? The kind of emotions that impact you when these things just aren't well in our life. Persecution, where someone just seems to be attacking us. We seem to be constantly in that environment, and our anxiety levels go up when we're in that environment with someone. We just know it's awkward. Something's not going well. We just want it to be better, but it's not. We can't seem to do anything about it. Persecution, famine, is it drought? Nakedness, peril of sword, is it inability to keep a house over our own heads? Like a young woman in Adelaide at this very moment who's come out of a domestic violence situation, she couldn't even tell her own children how long she's been suffering, her adult children, how long she's been suffering this thing. One step at a time, she's gaining some confidence to talk and move forward. How sad, and yet her trust and her weight and her patience, knowing that God is helping her take just one step at a time. Shall all of these things separate us from the love of God? No. I am convinced that neither death, and how great that is for me when I look at my mum's situation, it is not, death is not the final word. Nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor death, nor anything else shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And how do we know that? Look to the cross. His birth, his life, his death, his resurrection and ascension into heaven, and all of that meaning for us. He is with us in all of what goes on. God doesn't promise us a life free from trial. And don't we all know that? In different experiences, the longer we live, the more we understand that and recognize that. But he is with us in all of the trial, whether we recognize it always as the first point of we call to him or whether we don't. He is there. Therein is our hope, the God of promise to be with us, the God of promise who has gone in his son, death, resurrection, ascension. He's with us. There is our assurance. Not just hope, it's assurance. Absolute. You know, the Bible is full of accounts of where God has been faithful to his people. We just start rattling them off in the Old Testament, don't we? Isaac and Abraham and Isaac, where he goes up the mountain. God has got Abraham there. He's been doing the little conversation. Abraham's and Isaac's got no clues what's going on, the sacrifice, but he's trusting. And yet is this terrible anxiety building within him, and yet there it is. God is with Abraham into the very end of the sacrificial lamb. David and Goliath, the Israelites, fearful about the Philistines. Comes along little David. What does he do? Steps forward and the Lord is with him. Out comes Goliath and he's defeated and the Philistine army flee and the Israelites run after them. What about Noah? It's the great classic, isn't it? In the boat. Man of trust and faith with his extended family in there. He can't see anything but sea all around him. There he is, waiting, hoping that the rain will stop, that the waters will subside. He sends out the dove. First time the dove comes back, there is nothing. So what's happened? Noah's plan's on hold. He's waiting in hope for the Lord to deliver him. And then he sends out another dove, and the dove comes back with the green tree root. Noah still can't see anything that's going on. But he follows the path of where the bird comes from. He trusts the Lord in his waiting. And what has happened is the Lord delivers faithfully to him. And he gets to see the land and it's all over. He knows that that journey is going to end. So in Jesus Christ, we have the freshly plucked olive leaf that points to a new era for us. When all tragedy, all things have been overcome, all pain destroyed. And I know my beautiful mum enjoys that now. That is our promise. That'll be our inheritance too. One day when we will be with the Lord forever. A new kingdom will emerge. This is our faith. This is our advent. When Jesus was born, the whole of history, not so much the facts about birth, although I'm sure Mary would have something to say about it, but not so much the facts, but the meaning of life for us changed the whole world forever. A new understanding of life, not just a new understanding of life, but a new way of living life in the in-between times for us. Since his birth, just think back over the countless history that we've had of people coming to the Lord, where their life has been changed and their relationship to God. You know, when I was on deployment, my first deployment, I had a commander who said to me, on the pre-deployment, so we call this force prep, prepping up to go overseas. So we're all sharing rooms, right? So I've got into my room, I'm thinking, sweet, I've got this room to myself. 2 hours later, in walks this tall, rather looking gentleman, announces himself as my commanding officer, who said, oh, I wanted to share the room with you to find out what kind of chaplain I've got. I think, fabulous. As soon as he finishes that, he goes, oh, by the way, I'm an atheist and you won't see me in your church, but I do value chaplains. I'm going, God just heard you. So we've gone through all of that force preparation, we go overseas on deployment, and every day I started to write a daily devotion where people could access. Never saw him come near my office the whole time, or any of the chapel times, but I would regularly meet with him and talk with him. Right near the end of the deployment, there's a coffee machine outside my office. One morning I'm in my office and there comes the CO. Stands outside the office, making fidgeting around, looking around, see who's around. I knew what he wanted. He wanted to come and talk. So he walks into my office and he said, and he shuts the door. I think, oh, this is a bit serious. And he sits down, he goes, you know, Mark, all those devotions that you wrote, I want you to know I read every one of them. And that some days they just got me through as a commander when I wouldn't have. I thought, wow, good work, Lord. The closure of that deployment was the Easter festive season. On Easter Sunday morning, when people were coming into church, who do you reckon walked in? That commander who said, you'll never catch me in one of those churches, I'm an atheist. He sat down on one of the most important mornings of a church calendar year. And he heard the good news of the resurrected Christ and what that meant for him. 3.5 years later, this commander, I've been promoted in my rank. And I'm reading emails one morning, just switched it on, and I saw his name. I thought, oh, read the email. And he said to me, congratulations on your promotion, thoroughly deserved, and I want you to know I've always appreciated your wonderful chaplain support to me in that deployment. All the very best and blessings, and he signed his name. Then I looked at the signature block. It was from the Pentagon in the US of A. This guy is overseas in the Pentagon. He's found my name and sent me an email. He could have, in the busyness of his work, he could have left that alone. But he didn't. God has made an impact on that guy's life. Praise the Lord. People coming to faith and how God impacts their life like this. Wonderful to see. In his death, in his resurrection, Jesus, there's a whole new world that has been created, a world where Jesus is together now with the Father, but not just in the heavenly realms where he rules, but where he is with us right now. In his word. The power of the Spirit that's in our hearts. In baptism, where we're brought into his family and brought and made his children. Not just children, but heirs of his kingdom. And everything that Christ has earned for us. In Holy Communion, which we just had a minute ago, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life eternal. Jesus says, he will come again in power and glory. And when that day comes, lift up your heads. Your redemption is coming, is drawing near. What can we hope for? We have the assurance of a God who's with us. We have the assurance of forgiveness as shown in the cross, death, resurrection, salvation. Not just a hope, but this is a reality. That Jesus, Prince of Peace, is the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. He is that Prince of Peace. He is our salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to the Heavenly Father. He is for you and He is with you. And how do you know that? John 3:16-17, for God so loved you that He sent His only one and Son, that in believing in Him you will not perish but will have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into this world to condemn you, but that you might be saved through Him. Take us in, Lord, and give us the shelter. Break through the darkness, reach into our loneliness at times, and draw us into a family. And take all of our tribulations and our pains and our doubts and our wonders about where this life might be, and have us focus anew as we lift up our heads and see You and Your love and Your presence with us, that it will bring something new in our life. And may all the promise, all of the hope, all of the joy and love of Christmas be Yours in Christ Jesus. Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you today and always. Amen.